I'm delighted to welcome today the very lovely Janet Broughton, who is known as the Positive Change Coach. Welcome, Joanne.
Here.
Joanne, Janet. That's
lovely to be here. Good
start, isn't it? So lovely to see you, Janet. The Positive Change Coach, I'm presuming you do what it says on the tin.
Yes. Yeah, it's a combination I started in this world of personal development, holistic therapies, going back to 2005, and kept bringing other things on board. And you realise that you're giving people separate sessions of things. One of the things I am is a yoga teacher. But then you were saying, oh, I'll give you a bit of that and a bit of that. And it's like, people need a full programme. Everything can benefit. So I have my 60-day positive change program, which is based on emotional freedom technique, or tapping, if people are familiar with it. I say the yoga, meditation, I do some neuro-linguistic programming and some colour psychology. And that gives them a complete package, be it you're actually wanting to make changes or you're struggling with changes that have happened to you.
Right. How interesting. We'll go into your story as to how you came to do what you're doing shortly. EFT and NLP are techniques that are quite commonly known about amongst the health fraternity, because a lot of people have these as add-on things to their practices, or maybe some of them actually practice solely in that modality. So for the benefit of the listeners, can you run us through what EFT is to start off with, and then we'll go on to NLP?
Yeah. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. Something we could all do with, because it's our negative emotions that hold us back in life, stop us making the decisions we want to make, stop us appreciating ourselves and so on. So emotional freedom is actually removing the negativity. And on a practical sense, if you think of it as acupuncture without the needles, we tap instead. Okay, so it's the meridians, if people are familiar with having lines of energy that run through your body. And over time, as events happen to us, they get blocked. And that's something I deal with in everything I do, because in yoga, we do energy block release sequences. And as that energy gets blocked and you're not flowing with life, then you'll also get, you know, we talk about somatic theory, which is about the body and the emotions being linked. Your body reflects how you're feeling. So when we tap the points we do, then we're starting to, it's a bit like if you think of old style television, it's got a bit wobbly, give it a tap and you bring it back. Wish you could do that now. and we are just putting things back into place. You know, if your energy should be just flowing nicely, and when it starts to jar, that's where we need to do something to release that.
Wonderful. So that's actually a really good and very clear explanation of the meridian lines and keeping them into balance. What about NLP? What does that stand for, and what how do you use it?
Neuro-linguistic programming. That tends to have, for me, two parts to it. There is one part that really helped me understand myself. So, for instance, it's one of the things where we look at is what we call representational systems. So what's the first thing that you interact with the world? So are you visual, are you audio, or are you a touchy-feely person, kinesthetic? Now, I'd gone many years being told I was clumsy, banging into things, feeling uncomfortable, worrying about whether I was, you know, there was something wrong spatially, if there was a problem with my eyesight, and I would get quite annoyed with myself. And then I went on NLP and discovered I was visual. And something, everything came into understanding. Visual people can't talk without our hands. We talk fast. And we're always on to the next thing before we'd finish that one. And I realised in doing that, crash in between. That's where I would drop things, smash things, bump into things. And A, it is my mind. No, I've not got any problems with my sight or anything else. Yes, I have to live with it, because that's how I am. And that's not something you can change. But therefore, I put strategies in place. So, for instance, when I'm teaching, I always have the glass of water, and there's more glasses of water gone flying as I'm doing all this. So now the water is well out of the way, so I have to walk to it to get it and put it back again. I also like the advantages that gives me when it comes to design and things. I mean, I love colour, but I'm able to hold the colour in my mind. And so I could, you know, people often come in my house and go, oh, that matches that. And I go, yeah, because you know, it's all in here. Mm-hmm. And so I can visualize what a room's going to look like. I mean, I had a client in a group I was working with, carers, actually, a good few years ago. And I had one lady in the group who was an Italian lady, and she was very expressive, very, you know, so she was really big visual. And she was getting all in a tizz about the new kitchen. She, of course, could visualize what this new kitchen was going to look like, but her husband couldn't. And she was getting more and more annoyed with him. I've told him I'm going back to my mother if I don't get a new kitchen. And you're like, okay. So, and having explained it to all the three different ones, I said, listen to him, watch him, and find out, and then talk to him, because your language is affected and everything. And she did the initial, and why should I change to suit him? Yeah. Went, well, do you want your kitchen? And she went, well, yeah. So the following week she came back and I went, well, she's got me kitchen. Mm-hmm. And she'd listened, she'd watched, and he's kinesthetic. So he can't imagine what it looks like. He has to touch it. So she drew on the wall, this is where the door's going to be. She moved the fridge and the freezer, actually moved, so he can actually see it. And then he went, oh, yeah, it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So it helps you communicate better with people. If you feel you're on two, you know, parallel lines, probably are to start with, because you're talking, you know, I will say, I'll see you soon. You know, somebody who is audio will say, hope to hear from you. And somebody who's kinesthetic is, we must touch base. So you're always talking in a different language. So if you start to understand yourself, and then you can understand the people around you, you can improve your relationships. But NLP also works with techniques that allow you to change your thinking. So one I absolutely love, which is great, is something called breaking anchors, because we have memories that anchor us to negatives. So I'll ask people for a feeling they have and a feeling they would like. And then one need, I can't demonstrate on here, but one need becomes the positive memory of what they want to feel, and the other need becomes the negative memory. And I simply tap the knees, so that the bad memory is slight, the new memory really hard. And they have their eyes closed, so they don't understand. And then I just bang both knees together, and the brain can't cope with the two things at once. So it goes to the stronger, which is the one where you've been going harder. And so when they try to think of the negative memory, they can't. So all these techniques for me, you know, EFT, NLP, I lose a lot of my NLP in my EFT, because I want to make sure I've got a good relationship with my clients. So, and that works the same if I'm teaching yoga, you know, I'm visually demonstrating, I'm talking about it, and I go around and adjust the people that need it. So they all, to me, support me giving a better service to my clients.
Brilliant. It's so interesting. The analogy that you chose about the lady with her kitchen is interesting to me, because that was my very first business. In the late 1970s, my first business was in the kitchen, installation, design, manufacturing, retailing, the whole bit. And I had we had a designer in one of our studios in London who had only one eye. And he was a fantastic artist. And he used to draw the elevational drawings from the architect type drawings that we created, because so few people could visualize. Yes. And even when the elevation drawings were done, you know, they'd still couldn't quite get their head around it. So I learned all about that, as I say, in the late 1970s. And I can look at a drawing and immediately visualize it. I can go into a room and I can immediately visualize what's what. Yes. When I was younger, I thought everybody could do that, but it's as you learn techniques and learn more about people, and also what you were saying about, you know, the different languages, you know, the touchy feely or the see you or hear you or whatever it is, that also comes through in the work that I do with the disbehavioral profiling, with the different behavioral styles. So tell us about the other modality you mentioned, about the colour psychology. What's that about?
Yeah, that's my kind of fun thing, just because I love colour. But it's not, some people think it's about what colours you wear to suit you. It's not that. It's the language of colour is an easy way to start. So, you know, you're going to paint the town red, or it's red rag to a bull, or you call somebody yellow, or you've got the blues, or you're browned off. We're using colour to describe things, and within that word, you know what I'm talking about. It's within our language. So where does that come from? And again, it fits beautifully with my yoga because we're working on the energy centers of the body, what we call chakras, and they're represented by the colors of the rainbow. And they all have their own meaning. So red is your base chakra. It's full of energy. It's the bit of you when we lived in caves that either ran for it or fought the lion or whatever. So you've got a lot of energy in there physically. And as we work the way up the body and we come to above the head, that is the violet. And that is more your charitable spiritual self, which you see that color a lot in churches. And anybody who's studied business studies will have been introduced to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and he based it on the chakras. He's one of those people, if I could have a dinner party, he'd be there. Yeah. I want to talk to Maslow. Yeah. Sadly, he's no longer with us, Abraham Maslow. And he'd studied in India. And I mean, in 1954, if he'd said what I've just said, he'd have been laughed at. So he created it as a business model. The first one he did was five layers, and then he went to the full seven layers. And it's that, you know, survival and then working your way up to actualization, self-actualization.
Right, how interesting.
So you use it as well in the colour of the room. So what feeling do you want to have? So, for instance, in a bedroom, you want colours that will keep you rested. In a dining room where you eat, you want quite bright colours because you want to eat with relish. And the same with the clothes. You do look at the clothes because, for instance, people wear a lot of black, and particularly the people who wear all black. And that's the message that is given is stay away. This is my barrier. Don't come near me. It's also saying I don't communicate well because I'm stubborn. I'm here. So if you go in a nice black suit to an interview, you are not going to get the job. Whereas if you wear navy blue, which this is, with some pale blue, you see what I'm doing? The navy blue is here, the intellect. The pale blue is the throat. So I've got the pale blue on as well. And that's communication. So you've walked into a room and you've said, I'm intelligent and I'm a good communicator. So you've given out the message straight away. So it can be used in lots of ways. I find it quite fascinating.
It is fascinating. And I'm a great believer that every day is a school day. And you've just taught me about Maslow. I know about the hierarchy of needs and so on and so forth, but I didn't know it was based on the chakras. How did I not know that? I had no idea. So,
well, it was one of those things. Because the last paid job I had, if you like, was with local education authority. And I did work with some of the educational psychologists, and I was just in somebody's office, and it was up on the wall. And it was that moment where I recognized it. I thought it's the chakras. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, I was on a course to teach teenage yoga, and it was brought up, and that was where I found out he'd actually had trained in India. It wasn't by accident. It was all very planned. So yeah. It's just sometimes as your awareness rises, then you kind of see things in a different way.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no such thing as coincidences, is there, with the universal energy and the frequencies that, you know, we like attracts like and so on and so forth. So, Janet, tell us about how you actually decided some years ago to go into this field of some might call it woo-woo.
It's not woo-woo.
I know it's not, but it's so many people.
Yeah, I know.
Can't get around it because you can't touch it or feel it, you know, but you have to experience it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it started for me 23 years ago when I was in a really dark place. And it's going to sound strange, but go for it. I'd come out of a relationship, one of many, and I'd reached that point of hating myself. I can remember being stood in front of the mirror and screaming at myself, I hate you. And I meant that with every fibre of my being. And then curled up on the floor, sobbing my heart out. And the one thing I recognised, I just said out loud, why are they all the same? Because I was just going out with the same man in a different body every time. Mm-hmm. And this voice, and I'll swear on whatever you like, it was a voice, just said, why do you pick all the same? Mm-hmm. So I absolutely accepted that and like, yeah, I did. And then, because I was a very angry person in those days, and I just turned around and I went, so what do you want me to do about that then? And the voice, bless it, said yoga. Well, 23 years ago, you didn't find a yoga class. It wasn't that, you know, now they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. And I wasn't a sporty person at all. So I never saw myself. I'm like, yoga? Where would I find a yoga class? Mm-hmm. Silence. The next day, the local free paper came through the door, sign up for yoga class tonight. Law of attraction did its work. So I went along and signed up, absolutely terrified on that first night. Like all the people that I get coming to me now, it's like, oh, I won't be bendy enough. I'm too fat. I'm too old. You know, all the negatives why people struggle to get through that door. And met the first woman who changed my life. And she was an absolutely wonderful teacher. And one night, because she'd been a management trainer, and one night she said, oh, I'm not doing as much yoga. I'm doing a bit of Linda, because that was her name. And she had us sit in pairs with somebody you'd not met before. And you had to tell that person something you'd done well that day. Well, my first thought was, me, do something well? Oh, you know. And I finally thought of something. So I had to tell the person what I'd done, and she reflected back to me the skills I'd used. And that was hard. And then she had to tell the rest of the group. And we were sat on the floor. And while she's doing that, I'm like this in a little ball. I don't want to hear it. And this wonderful Linda was stood next to me, and she went, and what do you say? I thought, say? And I kind of looked at her, and she said, Grandma's just giving you a lollipop. What do you say? Mm. And of course, I just said, thank you. And she said, you need to do mirror work. And I went, I looked at her, I said, what's mirror work? And she said about looking in the mirror and telling yourself, I love me. And she went, and I went, I have stood in front of the mirror and said, I hate me. She said, you're not going to do that again, are you? I said, no, I'm not. And she introduced me to my first book, Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yeah.
And the day I did the mirror work, the tears just rolled down my face. It was something so out of my comfort zone. And so from that, I got more interested, and I bought more books, and I went on more courses, and so it developed, and then got, you know, as the right thing came along, you know, the NLP, I was able to do it through work at the time. I'd carried on with the yoga, of course, and my holidays became yoga retreats. And during one of them, I fell off a horse and broke my back. And I did all the, because from day one, I said, tell me what to do and I'll get better. And I did everything the hospital told me to do, but I was still in a lot of pain and I still couldn't walk properly. And I came across somebody who did EFT, emotional freedom technique. And I went to him for a full afternoon and I walked out pain-free and straight as a die. And it was only a few months later, I met the woman who changed my life, and I became started to train as a Drew yoga teacher. So it's just been a constant, you know, development of as the things are needed in the come. So woo-woo or not, it works.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, how there's a saying, I don't know what famous person said it, but when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yes.
You know, like you had that newspaper through your door the day before, you wouldn't have even, you know, no, battered an eyelid, you wouldn't have even seen it. It came through when you were ready to see it. The same has happened to me so many times over the years. And also these gifts that are sent to us, breaking your back wasn't, you know, what you put your hand up for, but if you hadn't had that situation, you wouldn't have learned what you've learned, and so on and so forth.
Well, exactly. I mean, one of my friends said to me, falling off that horse was the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah.
You know, which looking back, I can see that at the time. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
But it does make you reassess, think about what you want. I was given time out of a job that I really hated. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of things that it, and made me, you know, then start to look for other remedies, if you like, to what the pain that I had. Mm-hmm. And discovering that pain was actually linked to my emotions was a big breakthrough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had the same situation as well. I mean, when people hear that I've got through four different versions of cancer and I was only given less than a year to live 6 years ago now, they go, oh, poor you. No, I wasn't ill. I was just inconvenienced. And it's how you deal with things, isn't it? It's your mindset, which obviously the NLP and the EFT can help with. The yoga helps to relax you.
Absolutely.
And so forth. So it's not just one single thing, is it? It's a whole series of puzzle pieces.
That's it, you come through. I mean, I had a client, it's about 5 years ago, and she rang me originally for some Reiki healing, and she came and she'd just been diagnosed with lung cancer. Now, my experience of lung cancer was everyone I knew died within 6 weeks. So she came and she had some Reiki and she felt better. I said, would you consider something else? And I explained EFT and I introduced her to Louise Hay and what Louise Hay said about lungs and cancer. And she just sat there and she said, well, she's just described me, so let's give this a go. And, you know, another 4 years down the line, still with us. And one day I'd been to see a client just before I go and see her personally, and it was so negative. I mean, he had a lot of illnesses and poor man. And when I got there, I said, oh, I wish I could, because she's so positive. And she, I mean, when she first was ill, because she's a little Filipino lady, and she, her clothes, she loves her clothes and her handbags and her shoes. So she boxed them all up and sent them back to her sisters in the Philippines. Well, she's had to go and buy more because she's still here. And she'll have her hair done every week and her nails done every week. And I got there and I said, oh, I wish I could take what you've got and bottle it and sell it. And she went, but it's you. Mm. Before I met you, I was on the way out. She said, I can remember, you know, looking at some face cream and thinking, well, it's running out, but it doesn't matter because I'm going to die anyway. She said, here I am 4 years later. So, yeah, and to know that you've made that kind of difference and given her the positivity to carry on, it is wonderful.
It is wonderful, and it's very humbling, isn't it, as well, when you know that you've positively impacted somebody's life. It really is, you know, a feeling of gratitude, humbleness, you know, the whole bit, you know, lots and lots of joy. So you've mentioned a couple of times the Louise Hay book, You Can Heal Your Life, which is a book that I know lots of people have started off with. And there are so many books out there that are tremendously helpful to us. So it's not like we don't have the information. And these days, at the press of a button on the internet, there's all kinds of audio podcasts. I don't know about you, but I find myself every single day I'm learning something. Like today, you've taught me about Maslow and the chakras, which I didn't know. So every day there's something that we can learn, which we can then help other people with. But in that, it also helps us, doesn't it? Because it helps us to develop and mature and so on and so forth.
Oh, absolutely. There's always something, and it can be just a little snippet and you think, ah, that explains it.
Exactly.
And like you say, you bring that to the people that you work with. So, yeah, I never stop learning. I mean, the number of books sat next to me here is, you know, and some I'll refer to regularly, some it's just occasionally. But, yeah, that there's always something there that you think, right, yeah, that's another thing to learn, to pass on to other people.
Yeah.
That's why with EFT, because my background is teaching, I have to teach what I learn. So I'm a national trainer now, so I train other people to go out and spread EFT. The same with the yoga. When the time came, I became a yoga teacher because I'm so passionate about it. So, and I would never have imagined being a yoga teacher. But here I am.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? If we could have this conversation with our younger self where we are now. But nobody could possibly ever have done that, because we don't know what life's going to bring, do we, and how we're going to deal with things and so on and so forth. So with the books, I had to have a real purge with the books because I've moved. You know, I'm in Portugal, so I had to declutter, everything, you know, at super, super speed. So a lot of my books were given to friends and charity shops and so on and so forth. So I'm down to bare minimum now of books, because that's all I could bring with me. So I'm doing more with the podcasts and the audios and the YouTubes and so on and so forth. So I'm finding that I'm still doing all the learning, but instead of the books, I'm doing it through other means. And again, it's a way of transforming and, you know, using different parts of us as well, isn't it? So there's whether you're visual, auditory or kinesthetic, there's something out there for you, whether it's touching, feeling, holding a book, you know, nurturing the pages, or whether it's listening to something or watching on YouTube. There's something for everybody. Nobody has an excuse now not to learn about whatever the thing is they need to learn about.
And they never, you know, the excuses, they'll always make excuses if they don't want to learn, or they're frightened of going there.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's the first hurdle you have to overcome to actually help people heal, is that they are frightened. I mean, I get people who have become so much their issue. It's not just I have an issue, but I am my issue.
Yeah.
I am my negative feeling, that they fear losing it, because who are they?
Yeah.
You know, and so I would deal with that first before we get into the work of dealing with getting rid of the negativity.
Yeah,
because we get so attached to this identity of whatever it is.
I find myself nodding constantly as you're talking, Janet. The way I've witnessed that in recent years with the health mentoring that I do, I've now got tuned in quite well to the fact that not everybody wants to get better. Some people like to be the problem, like you said. Some people are in constant victim mode, which is why I bring behavioral profiling into the mentoring that I do, because I can then see the essence of the person and what their innate behaviors are, and then I can work with those and sometimes choose not to work with them depending upon, you know, what's what. But I've got a whole host of people that I refer on to, because I'm not, you know, skilled in all of the things you do. I use EFT and I've done training in NLP, but they're not my key things. They're things that, you know, are useful and helpful. They're tools and resources. So recognizing where you're at in life is a key thing, which is what you've just alluded to. So understanding yourself, knowing how to manage yourself, working with the things that you need to work with, or at the very least acknowledging them, even if you decide, okay, I can't deal with that now, or I don't want to deal with that for whatever reason, you can park it and then come back to it when you're ready, because that's the way the universe operates. So I've mentioned I'm in Portugal, and I gather you were in Portugal once upon a time as well. So tell us what happened there.
Yeah, well, I decided it was after my mother had died, and I'm an only child. I've never married. I have no children, so I've nobody particularly close that I'm responsible for or linked to. And I'd always, right in the back of my mind, had this: one day I'll work abroad. And I never really said it to people because I knew I was useless at languages, so I couldn't imagine how it could possibly happen. And then as I got into, and I couldn't imagine what I could do to earn a living. And then as I got into the yoga and I was going on the yoga retreats, it was like, well, okay, they can teach yoga, but do they really know how to look after people? Because my original background is hotel management. So to me, it was bringing together all parts of me. So I'd started to say things like, well, one day I'll have my own yoga retreat, but not while I've got my mum and the cat, because I knew there was no chance of leaving them behind, or the cat adopting if I took him. And then very suddenly, after 6 weeks illness, my mum died. And so I thought, well, you've no excuses anymore, and you can take the cat with you. And then sadly he died. They both gave me my freedom. And the mum, you know, the house had been left to my parents' house. And so I sold my house and I went to central Portugal. It's an hour and a half north of Lisbon, a town called Tomar. And I would recommend it, it's beautiful. And found this property, which seemed to be exactly right. It's in a beautiful position. It was exactly what I wanted. Gave me separate living accommodation as well as my guest accommodation. And did all the right things. I got a lawyer. I went to the council and checked it was okay for change of use. I got a British builder so that I could be understood. And turns out Portugal sometimes is a bit corrupt. So I lost everything. The builder took all my money. It turned out there was an illegal, the extension to the building was an illegal build, which the way you do things there is a backhander. And if I'd done that, I'd probably still be there. That's not my way of working. And you basically eventually realise you cannot fight City Hall. So I had to make the decision to come back because I had exactly 1,000 euros. I was heavily in debt. I had no job and I had no home. So I came back after 2 years, which is just over 8 years ago now. Ever grateful to my wonderful friends. One of them let me live with her while I got myself on my feet, and other people lent me money, and I did it. I got into a rental, and then I started doing some yoga classes, and bit by bit, so that 3 years ago I was able to buy my own house again. So I've completely, because I've reached the point, of course at first while I was there I did try and fight City Hall, and you can't, and I knew therefore that that was not the way forward. But the way I was going to win, if you like, was to rebuild my life successfully. And in doing that, they can still squirm in their horrible little world, but I'm fine and I've survived. And that was the key thing, was survival. So, and surviving in a way that I wanted to. So it was a learning journey, say the least.
So again, part of life's rich tapestry and stories that make us who we are, character building, experiential, and you definitely walk in your talk there, the positive change coach, from breaking your back, you're losing all your money and home and all the rest of it. I mean, they're pretty serious things, and a lot of people that would have broken them in pieces. But you've put yourself together.
Yeah, I mean, I came close. I can remember one day in particular, because I kept trying different solicitors, and what I didn't know till later was any solicitor that tried to take on my case, the local council was saying, do that and we'll put you out of business. So it was just impossible. But one particular one, she was a lovely lady. She didn't speak any English, but her assistant did. They were trying their best for me. I went and she had to tell me that there was nothing that could be done and nothing. And I can remember not being able to breathe. And I just dropped my bag or whatever I had with me. And I just said, I've got to get out. And I just needed the air. But it was after a few minutes, I suddenly realized I was walking around the town and I was actually gripping myself. So I was like this, just walking around the town. What people must have thought, I have no idea. And then there was that moment of, what am I doing? You know, and I went back and she was lovely. She just gave me a great big hug and, you know, we'll look after you. But yeah, you don't realise until later. I mean, when I first came back from Portugal, again, I must have had an emotional breakdown. And it obsessed my mind, my thoughts, my speech, everything. But you find out who your friends are. The people who drifted away, who didn't want to know, because they couldn't see that you were just going through a really difficult time, you know. And so the people who stuck with me to the getting through that time of my life are the ones who are still with me now, you know, and support me. So yeah, you learn a lot along the way, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. You learn who your friends are, but you also learn a lot about yourself, don't you? When type of things happen. And a lot of people don't realise how strong they are until they're tested, and then it comes through. So, well, it's wonderful speaking with you, Janet. Before we close, are there any top tips that you'd like to pass on to the listeners?
I think it's is that self-awareness. I mean, I've been on a meeting this morning, and one lady was, as soon as she came on, oh, I'm impressed by you all. I don't know if I should speak up, yeah. It's that putting yourself down. And if you hear yourself saying that, stop yourself. Because the question I would always ask is, would you say that to someone else? And no, they wouldn't. People look horrified when you make that suggestion. So don't say it to yourself. But I think it's equally important to find something that gives you that outlet. For me, it was yoga. I mean, I do Dru yoga, which is spelled D-R-U. In Sanskrit, that means still point. So through the flow of the movement, we seek the stillness within. And it's a combination of classic yoga postures with the flow of Tai Chi. And it was that, you know, I became a yoga teacher 14 years ago or whatever. For me, I would never miss a yoga class. The only time in all the years I did was when my mother had a heart attack. But I found people like over lockdown, because that was another challenge. How do I now earn a living? Because everything had gone. So that was when I learned to go online and teach yoga online and take my clients online, which has opened up the possibilities, because now I teach all over the world. So it's fantastic. But I have people who would not come online because they didn't want to be seen, even though in a class, it's a tiny little picture of them and big picture of me. So they missed yoga for 18 months rather than come online. Mm-hmm. Come back to me now, we're back in person, but they wouldn't come on. So it's, if you find you're struggling and you have those confidence issues, then ask for help. So important, rather, because people think they're the only one, and absolutely not, you know. And sometimes that's all I have to say to somebody, you're not on your own, and the relief that comes on their face. Mm-hmm. So to everybody listening, you are not on your own. And find an outlet, give some time to yourself. You find time for everybody else, find time for yourself. Whether it's meditation or yoga or something that's calming. Definitely what, you know, you've got to keep, I always say you're like a fire. And if you don't feed a fire, then it will go out. So keep yourself fed in whatever way is best for you.
Wonderful. Great advice, Janet. So how do people get a hold of you? How do they find out about your classes online and so on?
Right. I am thepositivechangecoach.com, and email me at janetbroughton@thepositivechangecoach.com.
Wonderful, nice and easy. Fantastic. So Janet, thank you so much for your time today and for your wise words.
Thank you very much.